Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon on Blue Zone Wellness. I'm glad you're listening, wherever you might be from around the world. I'm broadcasting from right outside of beautiful Orlando, Florida. If you've listened to me before, you know I am a traditionally trained naturopath with a practice and ministry located in Orlando, Florida, and that I approach natural medicine from a Christian perspective. As we say here, the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He would teach them the cause, or rather, he would teach them about the cause of all disease. Be sure to join me every Sunday afternoon right here from 4 to 5 p.m. on Blue Zone Wellness, and we'll be sure and try to give you as many insights as possible into natural medicine and into alternative therapies. I'd like to remind you, as we always do, that we'll be actually altering our normal outline today. We usually go in the Week in Natural News, which is the first segment, which we will do today. And then we go from the Week in Natural News segment down to the Healing Food segment, which we will do today. But what we will do, instead of going from the Healing Food segment down into the Healing Herb and Healing Supplement segment, which is the last segment, we will blend the Healing Food segment today with the Healing Herb and Healing Supplement. And the reason we'll be doing this is because the Healing Food segment is going to actually really blend right into the series that I've been doing, talking about the benefits of different vitamins on the body and how to recognize deficiencies, etc. I'd remind you that if you like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. That's twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. Also, you can send me a friend request at facebook.com/NatureDoc. That's facebook.com/NatureDoc, NatureDoc. Again, be sure to go there and you can send me a friend request and you can follow me and become a follower on Twitter for up-to-date natural health and alternative medicine information. We have a very, very exciting show for you today. We're going to be talking about a number of issues, and we're going to have to be moving pretty quickly. In this first segment, we're going to be talking about, which is our natural news segment. And if you haven't listened before, this is the segment that we look at some of the news articles with respect to medicine or health or alternative medicine that has come out during the past week, and we discuss and analyze them. And this is the Week in Natural News segment. This is the one that we start off with. In this first segment this week, we'll be talking about, the first thing we'll be talking about is how, just by we had a little problem there for a minute. I guess we're back now. But just by working out, you can actually help stave off dementia, especially if you have parents that are older, if you're listening and you're getting a little older now. We're going to talk about how exercise can actually help stave off dementia, and it's actually pretty significant in its effect. We're also going to talk about how vitamin D increases, or lack of vitamin D, or low vitamin D levels, specifically D3 levels, actually can increase your risk of bladder cancer by up to 600%. Then we're going to go and we're going to talk about four power herbs that actually help manage female gynecological issues. And then we're going to talk about how mammograms. Actually, some of the research that has come out, now they're showing that even though mammograms have helped in some cases to detect cancer in earlier stages, this early detection has not decreased the amount of deaths from breast cancer. Very interesting article. And finally, we go over into our healing foods segment, which we will blend, like I said earlier, we will blend with our healing supplement. We're going to talk about why eating vegetables and which vegetables can actually help your bone density, to help cut back on loss of calcium from your bone. It's very, very interesting. It's very, very important, because if you understand, and most people, sometime during your 30s, your bone mass will start to gradually decline. And as it goes down, you can start to have a lot of problems. And also, when you have calcium deficiencies in the body overall, or if the calcium is not getting to the areas they need to get to, you can have many other health problems. But we're going to talk about how the Creator has given us foods that actually can help keep off drugs when it comes to issues with calcium deficiencies, especially those who get into the ages to where they may, especially, begin to develop osteoporosis and osteoarthritis and some of these other issues. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back, and we're going to get started right away. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Would you love to eat healthier if you could eat food that was delicious? Well, now you can at Tropical Refresh Restaurant right here in Orlando. Imagine eating amazingly delicious food that is not making you a heart attack victim waiting to happen. Choose from mouth-watering veggie burgers, veggie chicken, veggie chunks and beans, etc. And don't forget our amazingly delicious non-dairy ice cream. Choose from flavors like grape nut, pina colada, strawberry, and more. Enjoy a real meal without guilt. Call now, 407-310-8023, or toll free, 855-543-3243. That's 407-310-8023, or toll free, 855-543-3243. And experience Tropical Refresh Restaurant, where there's a delight in every bite as you experience a taste of the tropics.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Another special welcome to all of my friends and listeners over in Costa Rica. Not only that, but wherever you may be listening. Again, just to remind you, you can listen at BlueZoneWellness.org. You can at BlogTalkRadio.com. If you remember my blog over on faithministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog. You can listen there live as well as to some of the archive broadcasts. And we're going to go ahead and get started in our first segment here. And the first article is taken from naturalnews.com, and it talks about how a workout a day can actually help keep dementia away. And the article starts off by talking about how it's common knowledge that exercise is good for the body. And also here on Blue Zone Wellness, it's one of those laws of health that we talk about. Again, trusting the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control. Or temperance. That is what we call the ultimate healing system. There's no healing system that can outperform this healing system, not only for prevention but also for cure of diseases. And so here we see another scientific study proving that here exercise is very, very beneficial to help prevent mental issues and brain issues. It says here in this particular article, it's common knowledge that exercise is good for the body. Regular exercise aids in reducing the risk of heart attack and stroke, among other important benefits. And now new research shows that exercise can also be a very vital factor in the lessening or prevention of cognitive impairment. I've talked about this on Blue Zone Wellness before, about how exercise has actually shown the ability to actually increase cognitive function and intelligence in youth who exercise as compared to those that don't. So now here's this new study that came out according to this article, and it was published at the University, done at the University of Lisbon in Portugal. And it was a study organized of from 600 participants between the ages of 65 to 84. And each of these participants' brains show early warning signs of dementia, but none of them had debilitation in their daily lives, and they all lived independently. The article point out how the researchers followed the subjects over a period of 3 years, and during that time, the participants had their brains scanned on a regular basis. They were assessed on their cognitive ability, and they reported how often and how much they actually exercised. The results showed that the participants who reported doing 30 minutes of exercise at least 3 times a week had about a 40% lower risk of developing dementia in comparison to those who reported less activity. During the 3 years of the study, 90 subjects actually developed dementia. So out of the 600 participants that were studied that were followed over a period of 3 years, 90 of them actually developed dementia. And it was interesting to note that those who actually exercised at least 3 times per week decreased the likelihood that they would develop dementia by a full 40% from exercising. And exercise is free, and so you can actually decrease the likelihood that you would develop dementia, especially my listeners who may be, like in this study, between the ages of 65 to 84. But as we've talked about this before, exercise also benefits the brain of youth and young people. So all of us actually benefit by exercise. It benefits your brain as well as the rest of your body, as in your heart, etc. Now, the article goes on to point out how dementia is a term that describes multiple types of mental disabilities, and the most common mental disability is Alzheimer's. We've talked about how, even though this study didn't address, we've talked about how Alzheimer's can actually be helped what we eat and also by exercise to a degree. However, this study went on to say that the exercise to cognitive function association was strongest for vascular dementia, which is a type of non-Alzheimer's dementia that is caused by inadequate blood flow to the brain. And so, and it goes on to say that while exercise showed a reduction in the risk of vascular dementia by almost 60%, they didn't really see any decrease in the regular dementia, the non-vascular dementia. But we've talked about that in other broadcasts, the benefits of exercise and some of the other eating habits that actually help decrease the likelihood that you would develop dementia. So here we see that almost 60% of those that exercise had benefit just from exercising and cutting the likelihood that they would develop dementia or debilitating mental issues. The doctors performing the study also took MRI scans of their subjects to look for changes in the white matter of the participants' brains, which is actually linked to dementia. All of the participants showed changes of white matter at the beginning of the study in varying degrees, and the researchers made sure to take into account factors that can affect memory and cognitive function, like age, history of stroke, diabetes, etc. They found that even in taking in these factors, the predictive effects of exercise were still significant, and they still held at 6% benefit as when compared to those who did not exercise. And so it's very important, and these studies come out more and more, and these are things that we already know to a great extent. Those laws of health, trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control, temperance, a scientific application of these principles are the ultimate healing system, as I said earlier. And we're going to move right into our next article, which is also taken from naturalnews.com, and it was entitled "Low Vitamin D Increases the Risk of Your Bladder Cancer Up to 600%." And as we've talked about vitamin D, and if you look in the archives on our show here, you will find that we talked about why you need vitamin D3 and the type of vitamin you need. The type of vitamin D that you need is vitamin D3. That is the natural kind given by the Creator. When you go outside into the sunshine, and the sunshine and the body creates vitamin D3, which is the ultimate type of vitamin you would need in your body. Now, this article is based on that. And if you go and you listen and you look at that previous broadcast, and I highly suggest that you listen to that broadcast about the importance of vitamin D3, why we can use it, and then several benefits of D3 to help prevent several types of diseases and anomalies in the body. Now, according to this study, low vitamin D increased risk of bladder cancer 600%, according to the article. The article points out that vitamin D3 for brain cancer is seeping into mainstream media. And it's going to point out how you won't hear or read too many and may on obtaining a high D3 blood level to protect against cancer. However, he says that the official RDA or the recommended daily allowance for vitamin D3 is way too low to maintain the D3 blood level of 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. And the article goes on to say further that that vitamin D3 blood level promoted by vitamin D3 experts, for holistic doctors and naturopaths for protecting against cancer are actually the ideal levels. And it's also right now the current level that's recommended by most naturopaths, holistic doctors, medical doctors who practice natural medicine, etc., is roughly about 800 international units per day. And I think the recommended daily allowance is down around, 8,000 international units. And the recommended daily allowance is even maybe 400 international units, if I'm not mistaken. So you're seeing that you need a lot more vitamin D than is recommended. And if you don't have a sufficient level of vitamin D, there can be problems. This article goes on to point out further. It says that the LA Times Science covered a recent study done in Spain by the Spanish Cancer Research Center and published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. And it goes on to point out that positive studies of the merits of vitamin D3 for preventing breast cancer, colon cancer, and prostate cancer have already been published. So here we have now that there have already been many, many studies published. Positive studies on the merits of vitamin D3 for preventing breast cancer and colon cancer and prostate cancer. The article went on to point out that in this particular new study that was published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, the Spanish research team divided slightly over 2,000 people or subjects in half. One half hospitalized with bladder cancer and the other half without bladder cancer. Then they used the standard serum test to measure the active form of D3 produced in the kidneys. The Spanish research team recorded that 1,000 bladder cancer patients had less serum D3 levels than the 1,000 without bladder cancer. They determined that a low vitamin D3 level doubles the chance of bladder cancer. So in other words, those people in the study, they divided 1,000 in hospitalized and the other 1,000 they weren't hospitalized, and they found that the ones who had cancer already had very low levels of D3 when the other ones didn't. And this study went on to point out that by separating patients with more aggressive bladder cancers revealed that risk are 6 times higher with a low D3 blood level. And one aspect of the article says of vitamin D3's ability to prevent cancer is protein that D3 provides to curb cancer. So see, D3 is not really a vitamin per se. It's actually what's called a prohormone. It is a vitamin in a sense, but it's more accurately called a prohormone. And it has regulatory adaptogenic properties, and its proteins that it produces actually help to curb cancer in the body. And only it boosts what's needed, and it lessens what's overabundant. And this article actually is citing the LA Times article. Says the Times article did not reveal the actual numbers reading from the Spanish research team to indicate what they consider to be low. And it goes on to say that increasing bare skin exposure to direct sunlight is the optimum D3 booster. Is why I said earlier that the ultimate vitamin D3 take, for lack of a better term, is to go out to the sunshine and to allow the sunshine to shine upon your skin at least 30 to 45 minutes a day. It also went on to point out how tanning beds that use ultraviolet light, and there are some that are unsafe and some that are safe, can also work to get the amount of D3 needed to be produced in the body. Now, vitamin D3 and supplements from natural sources are also beneficial, but you must ignore the article pointing out the official RDA or recommended daily allowances. Many people actually and effectively supplement 5,000 to 10,000 international units daily of vitamin D3. So imagine that if the recommended daily allowance is only 400 international units, and you have people supplementing with 5,000 to 10,000 international units, we can understand why there could be chronic low levels of vitamin D3. And if those low levels of vitamin D3 remain in the body, you are at a greatly increased risk of several types of cancers and other sicknesses and abnormalities. This article point out further that a California study determined that up to 40,000 international units supplemented daily for a short term was not toxic. So you had even some people who may have had late stage cancer or some other diseases, and that their body was so deficient for a short amount of time, they were able to take 40,000 international units a day of vitamin D3. Now, as we go on in near the end, when we start talking about in the last segment, when we start talking about supplementation of vitamin D3 in terms of how it goes into your foods to have calcium levels, we're also going to look at how it's very, very important also to look over to your K vitamins and to have to work synergistically with your levels of vitamin D3. And if your K vitamin levels are not where they should be, too much D3 could cause problems. We're going to look at that a little bit later. So the idea or this article pointed out how if you are deficient in vitamin D3, you actually increase your chances greatly or significantly increase your chances of all types of cancer. But here's another study that says you increase the likelihood of your bladder cancer. And so you listen to Blue Zone Wellness. We're going to move on to the next article, and we're still in our first segment, the weekend afternoon segment. Just like to remind you that if you're not getting out into the sunshine to the extent that you should be, that's ideal. But if not, you really need to be supplementing with D3. The next article that we're going to go to in our first segment here is the article, Four Power Herbs That Banish Female Gynecological Issues. And this is an article that talks about four herbs that can actually benefit women greatly. And I know from experience that these are actually very, very beneficial for women, and they are very effective. They're very effective. The article points out that if a woman has a poor diet, inactive lifestyle, a stressful career, and is not well rested, for example, she may not only feel tense and physically congested, but also find she is at greater risk for complication. This is true. You've heard me say on here before, it's not well enough to just take herbs or just to take supplements and ignore the remainder of those laws of health. Those laws of health are your backbone. They're like your skeleton. They're like the frame of a house or a building. They're the frame. If you begin to take supplements without having that backbone established or that frame established, it's like trying to put muscles tissue on a body where there's no spine, where there's no skeletal system, or trying to build a house where there's no frame. And so this is the same mentality if we try and just take supplements or vitamins and not understand that our foundation are what we call those laws of health and the overall lifestyle. And the author of this article points out the same thing, how a lot of women, because of lifestyle or stress, may get into issues where they feel tense and physically congested. And the author also goes on to point out that this is because these behaviors, lifestyle behaviors, affect the metabolic rate and hormonal imbalance of the body, resulting in things such as breast tenderness, skin blisters, food cravings, lowered immune function, decreased resistance to pathogens and infectious germs, and any number of gynecological disorders. The author goes on to say further in this article, to combat these unwanted developments, it is important for women to understand their bodies first from a holistic perspective, to acknowledge, regardless of the symptoms that arises, that such symptoms are merely superficial indicators of a much deeper imbalance, one that requires meaningful lifestyle shifts related to diet, activity, etc. So again, it's true. When all points out holistically, remember the body is, when you address the body, is physical, mental, spiritual, slash emotional. And so all of those elements must be present when you begin to look at, when you begin to have symptoms. Symptoms are simply the body crying out for help or crying out for attention. The symptoms themselves are not the disease. They're simply outwardly indicating that something underlying is not correct. And we'll look at, and this article pointed out these four different, and I'll read them and then kind of comment and analyze is what we do in the first segment. The first herb pointed out in this article, four power herbs that banish female gynecological issues, is Dong Quai. And most popular, Dong Quai is most popular for its success in relieving menstrual complaints and menopausal symptoms. The article goes on to point out that this is a Chinese herb, and it is also commonly applied in cases of PMS or premenstrual syndrome, and it's useful in addressing irregular cycles as well as cramping. And this is true. I've had opportunity to use it. It's only good for women who are premenopausal who are having issues, but it's also good for women who are postmenopausal and who are having issues. Again, it's called Dong Quai. The article goes on to say further that it's naturally high in vitamin B12. Dong Quai also contains ferulic acid, which is a muscle relaxer and also a pain reliever, as well as a blood thinning. It also contains blood thinning chemicals known as corins, which work to improve circulation and ensure blood flow to the female reproductive organs. Dong Quai should be avoided, however, if you are pregnant or either if you are suffering from diarrhea or endometriosis. Endometriosis is when the inner lining of the uterus becomes inflamed. And so because it works or targets the uterus, if you have endometriosis or if you're pregnant, before using Dong Quai, you need to get the endometriosis under control first to find out what's the problem with that, which is typically some type of inflammation or some other thing that's going on there in the body overall. Again, the next herb pointed out in this article, blue cohosh, another which I'm also familiar with. The Native American medicine, Native American herb, worked primarily to help tone and strengthen the female uterus. It contains an alkaloid called methylcytosine, which is believed to be antispasmodic. In other words, so it believes to help cut back on the spasm maybe that can occur in the uterus. Now, the article points out it also combats painful menstrual flow irregularities by dilating blood vessels in the uterus, allowing for increased circulation in the pelvic area. Again, women who are pregnant should not take blue cohosh. In fact, not only should you not take blue cohosh, but if you are pregnant, you should avoid all products containing blue cohosh. And in fact, the article goes on to point out further that large doses of the herb were once used by Native American tribes to prevent conception, but modern herbalists now consider it not really reliable for those purposes, but for other purposes. The next point is cinnamon bark. Cinnamon bark is also very, very beneficial. Now, cinnamon, because it works as a stimulant, it really shouldn't be eaten on a consistent basis, but it can be used for short periods of time for medicinal purposes. It's also good with diabetes, but in terms for what we're talking about here, if you look for medicinal quality cinnamon, it's also known as rougui, R-O-U-G-U-I, and it can be found in Chinese herbal pharmacies or in health food stores. And it's very, very good for helping with relieving menstrual cramps. In fact, it can usually relieve menstrual cramp pain typically in a few minutes. Or I've also seen liquid magnesium calcium do the same thing. So again, we have this, but you have to also look at the underlying cause, which is usually having these issues is usually estrogen dominance, which is, we can do an entire show on that. And also, last but not least, as the article mentions, is one of my favorite herbs. I've seen it to be very, very effective, especially when combined with Dong Quai, and a couple other herbs. But these two alone are very, very effective. The next one is chase tree berries. You can also see it under the name of Vitex, which is a very, very effective herb for female issues as well. According to the article, reportedly it was used by monks back in the Middle Ages to help curb their sexual appetite. And also I've read in some of the historical lore that nuns actually also used it, and that's why where it received its name. Chase berry. The article goes on to point out further that it plays a significant role in hormone regulation, acting directly in the brain's pituitary gland. Also, it has flavonoids present in the chase tree that are known to slightly increase a woman's progesterone production. And here is why I think it's so effective, because if in fact the lady or the woman has estrogen dominance, that means that the estrogen progesterone ratio is off. And so, in fact, if chaseberry, also called Vitex, if it actually works by increasing the amount of progesterone, which would be an antagonist to the estrogen, that would, which would make sense that it would help and that it would be so effective, in which I've seen it be very, very effective in doing this. Again, as I said, when it is combined, especially with Dong Quai. The article goes on to point out further that it increases a woman's progesterone production, a lack of which is often the cause of menstrual complaints, infertility, heavy bleeding, excessive periods, irregular periods, and no periods, as well as PMS. And this is why I like this herb. It's very, very effective at working on these female issues. And we will go on now to our last article in this first in our healing. Excuse me for a minute. And not in our healing supplements, but rather in our Week in Natural News. Now, our last article in this segment is mammograms, more cancers detected and more overdiagnosis. This is an article. It was published at foxnews.com, but it was taken from My Health News Daily. And it was a very, very interesting article, where the article starts off by talking about how mammograms have actually doubled the number of early-stage breast cancer cases detected in the United States, but have not done much to reduce the number of deaths from advanced breast cancer, according to a new analysis, the article says, of data. So the experts have looked at 30 years of data from mammograms or dealing with mammograms, et cetera, and they've come to the conclusion that also mammograms have doubled the number of early-stage breast cancer cases detected. The deaths from these advanced breast cancer cases have not been reduced at all. The article went on to point out further that, in addition, as many as one-third of the newly diagnosed breast cancer patients in the U.S. are overdiagnosed as a result of mammogram screening. It says that patients are considered overdiagnosed when data suggests they were treated, often at an early stage. Mammograms have contributed to the overdiagnosis of as many as 1.3 million women in the past 30 years. The article says further that because this finding is based on statistics of early and late stage cancers, researchers have no way of identifying which women were overdiagnosed. And then it quotes one of the researcher, or Dr. Archie Blair of the Oregon Health and Science University. It quotes Dr. Blair by saying, quote, "Overdiagnosis of breast cancer is a greater problem in the U.S. than is generally appreciated." He says, "I was surprised by the magnitude of the problem." This article went on to say further that another recent study from Norway came to a similar conclusion, estimating that 15 to 20% of breast cancer cases are actually overdiagnosed. And it goes on to say that there are varying U.S. guidelines for breast cancer screening. The American Cancer Society recommends annual mammograms for women beginning at age 40. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends mammograms every 2 years for women between the ages of 50 and 74. The reason for the 10-year difference is that the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says that there is a lack of evidence that mammograms have more benefits than harm for women in their 40s. So here we have more of the mainstream, two of the mainstream organizations talking about when mammograms should be conducted and how often they should be conducted. And when you go over into the natural health arena, these are things that you won't hear in the mainstream. But in the natural health arena, it's questionable. Are all of these screenings, because of the level of radiation involved and the squeezing and whatnot, is the risk worth the benefit? And you'll see that in many, many cases, the mammograms can actually contribute. They can actually contribute to the development of breast cancer. And usually also by the time a mammogram can detect a tumor, a very, very small, you already have millions of cancer cells there. And so what we talk about in the natural health community is the mammography machine, which can actually see inflammation early on, in advance, 5 to 10 years earlier. It's not a diagnostic tool per se, but it helps. It scans to let a practitioner see if there's inflammation in an area, even though there may not be any cancer developed yet. If there's inflammation in a particular area, be it the breast or the prostate or wherever, and we see that inflammation there ahead of time, we can know that if dietary changes are not made, if lifestyle changes are not made, that in that area where that inflammation is, say for instance, if it's a breast, sooner or later, the likelihood that you're going to develop cancer in that breast goes up significantly. So we can then begin to make changes before you get to the point to where a mammogram can even detect a tumor, because by the time a mammogram can detect it, a tumor, the cancer, like I said earlier, there are millions of cancer cells already there. Now, let it be understood that you have cancer cells in your body every day. It's producing your body every day. It's just that the God-given immune system that God has given us destroys these cancer cells before they get a foothold. Unless, of course, your immune system has been compromised, usually for a long amount of time, and that's when you're made aware that you have cancer or that cancer is winning the battle. Now, back to this article. Again, this article is entitled Mammograms, More Cancers Detected and More Overdiagnosis, from FoxNews.com. The article went on to say further that the potential harms of screening include creating unnecessary worry over false positive results and conducting unneeded biopsies. The harms of overdiagnosis include treating women with drugs or radiation, which have their own side effects for cancers that would never have affected their health. And the article went on to say further, in the new study, researchers compiled data from the National Institutes of Health on women 40 and older who underwent mammograms between 1976 and 2008 and compared the numbers to the rate of breast cancer among women younger than 40, a group the researchers assumed were not getting mammograms. According to the article, the analysis showed that the rate of early breast cancer in women over 40 doubled between 1976 and 1978 as routine mammogram screening was widely adopted. So this is a very interesting analysis that came out of this study when it showed that the rate of early breast cancer in women over 40 doubled between 76 and 2008, 1976 and 2008, as routine mammogram screening was widely adopted. Meanwhile, the rate of early breast cancer cases increased for women under 40 by a tiny but statistically significant amount, which was 25 hundredths of a percent every year. The data also showed that advanced breast cancer cases among women over 40 declined only slightly, which goes back as the article started out earlier, that even though they're detecting it earlier, the number of deaths that are occurring from breast cancer are not going down. And so this early detection through mammograms, either whatever is being used to treat it, be it radiation, surgery, or chemotherapy, is not working. Or maybe by the time it's detected with the mammogram, maybe it's already in many women so far advanced, especially if they're not generally healthy. There's a problem, but I would suggest that it has to do with both of them. Number one, I would suggest that once it is detected early, in many cases, even though it's detected earlier, when you start cutting and burning and trying to slash out cancer, that is not a very effective way, which we've seen, to treat cancer. Was it effective, then there would be a reduction of the rate in breast cancer when it's been detected earlier, because the study showed that the early cases have doubled, but yet the amount of those women who are dying from the treatment has not gone down. So that means that the treatment, at least in part, is not as effective as it could or should be. And so here we have, to get back to this article, the article says further that this analysis suggests that the effect of mammography screening on declines in late-stage breast cancer and mortality is modest, said Dr. Rachel Ballard-Barbash, a National Cancer Institute researcher who was not involved in the study. The study showed that mammograms have had only a small effect, the article goes on to say, in preventing the progression to late-stage disease, Ballard-Bash said. In other words, the idea that routinely screening women would catch cancers in their early rather than late and less treatable stages was only weakly supported by the study. And so here we see again that we have to be careful about some of the propaganda that's promoted by the pharmaceutical companies and those who tend to make money off of introducing and encouraging us to do certain things. again, there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with the capitalism per se. But when you have that freedom of opportunity to make money, you're always going to have people who come in and will make money at the expense of others. And so here you have it, instead of putting out true information over these many, many years, whenever you begin to promote things like this, there's always a danger to where when people realize that they can make lots and lots of money, and there's enough information out there about some of the things that the pharmaceutical companies have done and some of these other companies that stand to make hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars off of disease as opposed to health. And these are some of the things that happen. And so, again, you have machines like the thermography machine. You have machines that can actually see these things or see the actual signs early on. And the thermography machine has actually even been approved by the FDA. And so you should, you know, the doctors should become more apt at these things, especially when we have studies like this that come out and show that there's not really been a real benefit in being able to see there's been a benefit in terms of detecting earlier, but there's been no real benefit in decreasing the death rate among these type of cancers. Now, you can read this article for yourself. There were one or two things that were beneficial about it, but that was astonishing at when you read the article, how all this push for all these mammograms to extend life and detect these cancers earlier, and when all is said and done, what you were really trying to do was not accomplished at all. And so here's again why we believe that when we take and put emphasis on the natural and alternative therapies, this is not to say that we don't need all allopathic medicine. Allopathic medicine, as I said on here before, has its place. But allopathic medicine should be the alternative in extreme cases for a short amount of time or in cases of trauma. And natural alternative therapies should be the primary go-to with knowledgeable practitioners. And we this is one of the ways that we can bring our health care costs down. And not only that, we can have a lot better quality of life. Now, we're going to move right from that into our final segment. And right before we go into the final segment, we're going to take a really quick break here. And we're going to talk about how vegetables, especially things like fennel and some other things, are more effective than calcium to help prevent bone loss. And it's very, very important, not only bone loss, but you need calcium for your heart and for other functions in your body, for other metabolic functions. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Dr. Keith Henry, I'm your host. This is our final segment. And again, we're blending today we're blending the healing food segment right in together with our healing herb, healing supplement segment, because in the past few weeks I've actually been going over a series talking about the benefits of vitamins, how to recognize deficiencies, and how the amounts that you need for health, the recommended daily allowance, the therapeutic amounts, etc. And since I'm going through that series, I just decided to blend this part this day, to blend this particular element of the healing food with the healing supplement, in terms of the supplements that the Creator has put in the food. Now, as I said earlier, in most people, sometime during your 30s, your bone mass will actually start to gradually decline. There are steps, however, that you can take to slow or stop this from occurring, which is what we're talking about in this final segment. For women, that bone loss speeds up significantly during the first 10 years after you reach menopause, which is the period when osteoporosis most often develops. Many are under this mistaken idea or impression that a prescription drug combined with mega doses of calcium supplements is the answer to strong and healthy bones. The fact of the matter, though, is that new research has actually revealed that nature, our Creator, has provided some of the best substances for preventing bone loss right in the foods that we eat. Now, I'm going to refer to Dr. Marcola here. He points out, he says, quote, "Scientists looking for natural components to counteract postmenopausal bone loss believe they have found the answer in fennel, a much underappreciated vegetable that is native to southern Europe and the Mediterranean area. In a study published in the International Journal of Molecular Medicine, it was found that eating the seed of the plant had a beneficial effect on loss of bone mineral density as well as bone mineral content." He goes on to say that, Dr. Marcola goes on to say, "Healthy bones maintain their strength through a continual process of bone breakdown and bone rebuilding." Now, let me pause here to say, and this is true, and the way that it occurs is that in your body, you have cells that are called osteoclasts. And these are the cells that break down weakened bone. And then you have other cells that are called osteoblasts. And these are the cells that actually build the bone back up. The vegetable fennel actually appeared in this study that I cited above to work by reducing the osteoclasts. Those are the ones that tear the bones down and break them down. It works by reducing osteoclast differentiation and function, and thereby slightly decreasing bone turnover markers and offering a protective effect on the bones. So here you have fennel, which is a vegetable consumed. Sometimes it's used here even in America as in herbal mixtures, and sometimes you see fennel is used in cleanses. It has the effect to get down into the cells, these osteoclasts that actually tear down their bones and actually affect the way that the osteoclasts are functioning, and to help decrease the turnover of their functioning, to help increase the activity of the osteoblasts that actually help build up the bones. And this again, the study published in the International Journal of Molecular Medicine was able to show how that eating the seeds of the plant, the fennel plant, had a beneficial effect on loss of not only bone mineral density, but as well as the bone mineral content. The researchers indicated that fennel seeds show potential in preventing bone loss and postmenopausal osteoporosis, and it's also going to show that fennel is a, if you don't know, fennel is actually a celery-like base top with feathery green leaves, and it has a long history of medicinal use, especially in natural medicine. Dr. Marcola points out in one of his articles, he says, quote, "It's now known that the plant is a treasure trove of nutrients." But before we get there, let me just point out when you read some of the natural medicine lore, historical lore, on what fennel has been used for. Fennel has been used since ancient times as a breath freshener. It's also been used as a digestive aid, as well as for helping expel phlegm from the lungs. So those are some of the things historically in natural medicine that fennel has been used for. Now to go on into quote Dr. Marcola, he says, quote, "It's now known that the plant is a treasure trove of nutrients, including vitamin C, folate, which is a natural form of folic acid, calcium, magnesium, and more, as well as phytonutrients and antioxidants that may help reduce inflammation. boost immune function, and even help prevent cancer. So all that in fennel. And now the new studies are showing that it may actually help with calcium levels in the body. He goes on to say, I'm going to quote him again. He says, fennel is just one example of a veggie that's excellent for your bones. High vegetable intakes has been associated with positive effects on bone mineral status for years. Here you heard me say on here before that the closer we eat in line with the colors of the rainbow, the healthier we will be. Of course, that includes eating vegetables, especially green leafy vegetables. And eating green leafy vegetables, as Dr. Mercola also points out in this article, goes on to show how when we eat in line with the rainbow, we're getting benefits that we may not even know that we would be getting. For instance, we have the amount of osteoporosis that we have or calcium deficiency that we have. Had we been eating in harmony with the rainbow, we may not even know of a disease called osteoporosis because the creator has put so many of the minerals and nutrients in the food that some of these diseases we would not even they wouldn't even exist right now. One reason why it's important to eat like this is because, especially these leafy green vegetables, etc., is that we need to get high amounts of nutrients like vitamin K1 and potassium. Your body needs potassium to maintain proper pH levels in your body fluids. We've talked about the importance of pH on Blue Zone Wellness before. It needs proper pH levels in your body fluids, and to optimize your sodium to potassium ratio, which also affects your bone mass. So if your pH is off and your sodium to potassium ratio is off, it actually affects your bone mass and can help lead to osteoporosis. Not only that, if you have lower levels of calcium, that can lead to heart issues. And so it's very, very important to understand why, when we talk about eating in line or in harmony with the rainbow, we can see here in terms of even dealing with your bones and some of the other things, how important it is. So let's take, for instance, if you eat a diet loaded with processed foods, there's a good chance that your potassium to sodium ratio is far from optimal, which is typically done by consuming a diet of lots of processed foods, which are notoriously low in potassium, while at the same time being high in sodium. And most of the time, this type of sodium that you find in these processed foods, and not most of the time, all the time, the sodium that you find in processed or dead foods are not the type of sodium that your body can use for health. The type of sodium that you find in raw foods, fruits and vegetables, there's sodium in there, but the sodium in there is assimilable by the body and can actually operate in line with the level of with the ratio of potassium in your body. And so once the ratio of potassium to sodium are working synergistically in your body, you can balance out your pH and not worry about consuming your minerals like your calcium. Because as I've said here on here before, if your pH is off and if the fluids of your body become acid, it consumes your buffering minerals, one of which is calcium. So if your calcium is being consumed over time, then it makes perfect sense that you will end up with heart disease, that you will end up with arthritis, that you will end up with some of these other diseases that we've talked about over the course of this show, as well as osteoporosis. Now, an imbalanced sodium to potassium ratio can actually contribute to a number of diseases, as I just said, including osteoporosis. So to ensure that you get these two important nutrients and their appropriate ratios, simply start eating closer in line with the rainbow. Ditch so many processed foods, which again are very high in processed salt and low in potassium and as well as the other essential nutrients that you need. Now let's switch over and look at a little bit about vitamin K2 and your bone health. So this is what we're talking about, how important your bone health is. The vitamin K2 is made by the bacteria that line your gastrointestinal tract. So think about it for a moment. You have good bacteria and you have bad bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract. Here's why we talk about, though, not mixing food and vegetables at the same meal. Here's why we talk about not lying down sooner than 3 hours after you eat. Here's why we talk about not eating sooner than 5 hours between meals. The reason has been because that gastrointestinal tract is very, very important. And then we're going to try and tie in here, if we can, the how vitamin K2, which is made by the bacteria that line your gastrointestinal tract, and how it goes over and how it works synergistically with vitamin, with your vitamins and your minerals, and especially with calcium. Now, the biological role of vitamin K2 is to help move calcium into the proper areas in your body, such as your bones and your teeth. So it also plays a role in removing calcium from areas where it shouldn't be, such as in your arteries as well as in your soft tissues. So it's critical for keeping your bones strong, and it works in conjunction with a number of other nutrients, most important of which are vitamin D, calcium, and magnesium. So here we see how all these things, again, they work synergistically. So you have to have the vitamin K2's role is to move the calcium into the proper areas of your body, such as your bones and your teeth. Now, let's say, though, that you're deficient in K2. If you're deficient in K2, then it's going to mean that you don't have the metabolic firepower that you need to move that calcium to the places that it needs to be. So instead of it being into your bones and your teeth, it could actually be in your soft tissues. That's not where you want it. It needs to be where the body, where the creator designed that it should go. And so now, again, we also find out that, as I said earlier, it's critical for keeping your bones strong, and it works in conjunction, K2 that is, with other nutrients such as vitamin D and calcium and magnesium. And the optimal amounts of vitamin K2 are actually still under investigation. However, the Dr. Marcola points out that it seems likely that about 180 to 200 micrograms of vitamin K2 should be enough to actually activate your body's K2-dependent proteins to shuttle the calcium where it needs to be and to remove it from the places where it shouldn't be. So you have to have that vitamin K2 there. And this is why so many diseases can be associated. Not only osteoporosis, but other diseases can be associated when you don't have the right amount of these nutrients in your body. Now, I'm going to give another quote from Dr. Marcola. In his article, he says, "As I've discussed on numerous occasions, vitamin D is a critical nutrient for optimal health and is best obtained from sun exposure or a safe tanning bed. However, many are taking oral vitamin D, which can actually be problematic unless you're also getting sufficient amounts of vitamin K2. In fact, this is a really crucial point that has not been emphasized enough in the past. If you opt for oral vitamin D, you need to also consume in your food or take supplemental vitamin K2. And then he goes on to say further, because when you take the vitamin D, your body creates more vitamin K2-dependent proteins, the proteins that help move the calcium around in your body. But you need vitamin K2 to activate those proteins. If they're not activated, the calcium in your body will not be properly distributed and can lead to weaker bones and hardened arteries. In short, he says, vitamin K2 ensures the calcium is deposited and removed from the appropriate areas. By taking vitamin D, you're creating an increased demand for K2, and vitamin D and K2 work together to strengthen your bones and improve your heart health. So here we see how it all plays in together to where how many of diseases that you may, if you listen to this broadcast, may already be at risk for. If you begin to look at these things, and we're not going to have time to finish this. We'll have to finish this. I'll finish this in the third segment next week. We'll finish this discussion on K2. We talk about K2. We also talk about a little bit about K1, mainly about K2, and how it plays in with protecting your body from some of these ravages of antioxidants overall. Not of antioxidants, but of free radicals, and also how it can actually help when you're getting the right amounts of K2 with calcium, etc. It can actually help prevent bone loss, and also help prevent some of the other diseases and abnormalities that have stricken or that consistently stricken that we're stricken with. Rather, now you've been listening to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening again. Join me again next week, right here at the same time, same place. I'd like to remind you, you can listen at bluezonewellness.org, or you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. You can also listen at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Also, I want to remind you that you can visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. There you can link to my Facebook page, Blue Zone Wellness. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. Visit BlueZoneWellness.org. You can also visit faithstreetministries.com/WordPress, which is the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog. Until next time, have a good week, and may God bless you.